So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the new.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher, welcome to Wrestling Weekly, guys. May 29th is the date. We got a great show for you. Of course, tonight, for Hot Topic, Brian Alvarez from the Figure 4 newsletter and Wrestling Observer Live, he's going to be joining us on the show. Also, our special guest tonight is former WWE star A-Train, Matt Bloom. He's going to be here. Guys,
or as he's known in New Japan, Giant Bernard. Don't ask me why, but we'll find out.
He is kind of giant.
Well, yeah, that's not even the point. And I'm just, if he were short, they wouldn't call him Short Bernard. But, I mean, the point is, why Bernard of all the things?
Why Albert?
Huh?
Why Albert?
I give up. Well, because of that, you know why, Albert, so we don't even get into that. You and I were talking before we went on the air, and for those of you who actually went on our site yesterday, which Doc was not among the millions of people who go to WrestlingWeekly.com.
I was not in the know yesterday.
Well, it wasn't because he couldn't have been. He just wasn't. He can make excuses as we go. We've got 2 hours for him to grovel and try to come up with a legitimate reason why he's not on the site that he runs.
But I'll give you excuses at the end of the show.
There should have been a note telling you why there was no news. But the reason was because the people whose news he uses, their server was being worked on or changed or something, right?
Yeah, wrestling.
I just faded in and faded out. What are you doing with the dials?
You sound fine here.
Okay. Well, I just heard something. Well, anyway.
I'm not touching anything, sir.
Please don't. Please don't. Tim, the Toolman Taylor, with us here on the other end of the line.
I'm going to fix our
wrestling's version of Tim, the Toolman Taylor. But anyway, and there was nothing on the site early this morning when I was on it. There is something on there now, but there should have been a message telling you that we would be up and, you know, the news board would be up and running ASAP. But it wasn't. So anyway, Tim the Toolman Taylor was busy doing something else, and I'm not even going to. I don't want to know what else. But
so how was your week, Les?
My week,
besides the no news for a day.
My week was fine. I wasn't necessarily wrestling related. That's why it was fine. No, my week was okay. The holiday, we were just, you know, kind of kicked back and that was it. You know, if you're looking for some, I didn't go to Tahiti or anything, or you know, nothing major, no plane crashes or anything.
That's good.
I did get a copy from the guys at Kayfabe Commentaries, who was on the show a while back, about, you know, where they've got wrestlers talking over. Or filling in the gaps on matches they were on. Honky Tonk Man, Greg Valentine, I think the Iron Sheik, Harley, and Paul Orndorff, the ones that go. But this is a new deal, and it's called Guest Booker. And the first one is Kevin Sullivan. The year is 1984. It says WWE, but actually it was the WWF. And I haven't watched the whole thing. I just saw the beginning of it. But anyway, Kevin takes the roster, kicks a few guys off. The idea is that Hogan isn't coming, so they've got to build the year 1984 around somebody besides the Hulkster. So Kevin is doing this, and I find it interesting simply because I've worked with Kevin in that capacity in the Knoxville territory. He and I have been friends for a long time, so I'm aware of him and the things he does and so forth and so on. But anyway, you know, it's interesting because he's got to just basically reshape history.
Right. Who better to ask than somebody who was a booker?
Good question, Doc. And anyway, this is the first in the series, and apparently they're going to recruit other bookers, from the past, and get them to do the same thing with other years, I guess, and obviously other rosters, because everybody, well, a lot of us like to rebook WWF, but right. never mind in 1984, 84 minutes ago, I guess, because I just finished watching last night's Raw, so anyway. Okay, whatever.
How was last night's Raw? Well, before we get into
you
that.
You weren't even home then, right?
I did catch parts of it. Before we get into that, though, kayfabecommentaries.com, guys, is where we can check that out. It's the guest booker with Kevin Sullivan, man. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I think we're going to have them on, and we're going to have Kevin on. Am I right?
We're going to have Kevin on soon, yes.
Very, very good, Doc.
We don't have an exact date yet, so we'll,
okay.
Of course, as soon as we
all
know,
right.
You guys will know at Wrestling.
Kevin and I go back to when he was a fresh-faced babyface and a clean-cut all-American boy, and before he became the devil worshiper and all that good stuff. But anyway, yeah, we've got a long storied history, and I'll enjoy kicking it around with him. And even if I get a chance to watch this thing in entirety, maybe even question him on a few things.
Excellent.
So anyway, yeah, that'll be cool. Yeah, I watched Raw last night, and I was working on my insider column today, and I realized, the gossip around the industry is that the referees in WWE are going to be made to look more like actual authority figures opposed to cartoon clowns,
mm-hmm.
Which has been the case recently. And of course, Vince, in his speech or talk with the stockholders, a couple weeks ago, whenever it was, made mention, among other things, that you look for a more serious product this year. So I want to stand and applaud both those things. And then I saw last night a bikini battle royal, which is leading into a pudding match between two girls. So, hey, it was a great idea for 15 seconds or so, and so we'll move on with our lives and right back to Clown Alley.
The devastating pudding match.
It's devastating, all right, but not in the manner to which, well, for you, it's voyeurism in its finest, I'm sure, and for me, it's Clown Alley. So, and if you too, and of course last night, the only 50-plus-year-old virgin I know, Jerry Lawler, was all excited about the Battle Royal. And they were beating each other to death with foam flotation devices and squirting each other with squirt guns, and it was pretty violent. And so I just. I just want to start this 2 hours off on the right note.
Right.
This is a wrestling talk show, and I'd love to see some to talk about, but
right.
Whatever.
We do got bad news, though.
Huh?
And we do got bad news, and we have to start the news off.
Was that good news? Did I just give you good news?
We have really bad news. Jill Jarrett, the wife of Jeff, had passed away last week after, battle with cancer, basically.
Did we not talk about that on last week?
No, this happened. Jill Jarrett died on Wednesday morning.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry. I thought we had actually talked about that, or I would have brought. Yeah, my sympathies out to the family. Jeff, I've known his dad since his dad actually started in the business. I mean, from day one. And his mom, I've known since she graduated from high school, went to work in the office there. But Jeff, this has been a hell of a deal with him. Like him or dislike him, think he's a great worker or a bad worker. Here's a guy who is helping him run a major business, and has gone through this whole thing with his wife, and they've got three kids, and
mm-hmm.
it's been a tough road to hoe for him, and something like that. I know she was in remission, and then she had a lung collapse and went in the hospital, and one thing another. So it's have to be tough on the whole family, especially on Jeff and the children.
Yeah, our hearts definitely go out to the family.
Yeah, yeah. And, the fact that he's carried on. Now, here's a spoiler, and if you don't like it, turn your computer off or shut your ears or plug your ears with your
30 seconds. Turn it down, guys.
But they did make the announcement. I think it'll show on this Thursday night's Impact that Jeff will not be involved in the King of the Mountain eliminations to find out who the top five guys are, or maybe just be four guys. I'm not sure, but anyway, that was said on their
yeah.
taping last night, so which is understandable.
Absolutely.
Well, here of late, he's been getting the minute he's done with his whatever he's doing in Orlando, he's getting the first flight back to Nashville. And and back to his family. So, yeah, and so here's for a young guy becoming. I mean, God bless her. You know, she was a big help with them when they first started TNA too. I mean, she was in charge of getting the old Fairgrounds building painted internally, and I mean, you never saw her on camera, but she was a big part of the whole deal behind the scenes. So. Mm. It's tough, and it's going to be tough on him being a single father from this point forward, and with his schedule and everything too.
Right.
So, bless his heart, he's got a rough road to hoe.
Absolutely. Recently released WWE star Scotty Tuhati. He has opened up his own MySpace page now.
It's Thank God! I was so afraid he wouldn't.
I was too, but no, he did. MySpace.com/Scotty2Hotty.
You know what? Let me tell you something. I go on our website and I read about your MySpace,
mm-hmm.
and then I can't get on it without joining MySpace.
Really?
So I'd rather not be on it then, okay? So please don't tell me how to get on MySpace.
I have enough
problems with the Internet as it is.
We're going to make you a MySpace one day, Liz.
I don't want a MySpace.
It could be one of those ghost-written MySpaces like some of the other wrestlers have, you know, written by a friend or something like that, you know.
I hope my grandchildren don't read MySpace. I've read some of the MySpace. Nothing. Someday you'll have to raise your own children. Somebody will be doing it for you.
I
know you have,
daughter.
But I'm saying you may actually have to be responsible for their act. Well, you know, it's funny. I'll tell you what's really funny. This had nothing to do with wrestling, but it does have a lot to do with children. Your kid can say a four-letter word, and you'll think that's cute, and your wife won't, or your grandmother won't.
I don't think it's
cute. And you won't think, but the minute they say it in public, you won't think it's cute either. You know?
I never think it's cute.
Okay, but anyway, I was just thinking, yep, that's Doc. Low pressure as possible.
When my daughter was two, she had one of those phases.
She had
a
MySpace?
No, she had a potty mouth phase when she was 2 years old. And, boy, I'll tell you, we got rid of that pretty quickly. So, no, I wouldn't think that was funny at all. And I don't really let my daughter go on the Internet all that much at all anyway. So
can't imagine why. After some of your tirades, I don't want to read them.
I won't even let her listen to this show.
Listen, let me tell you something. I grew up in the locker room, so I probably can know more four-letter words than you and six other guys.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a time and a place for that, and it's not where it could be, not for public consumption, I'm sorry.
True.
You know, there's times that I go off with my famous Les Thatcher rants here on this show that I could make them a lot more colorful, and I won't do that.
Right.
It's just not right, so.
Back to Scotty Tuhati, though. He is taking bookings, guys. It's myspace.com/Scotty2HottyWorm. According to the Delaware Online, the scheduled SmackDown ECW show in Ocean City, Maryland, on June 11th, was canceled. They had turned that show now into a three-hour show. It's going to be the draft lottery show.
Okay.
So they moved it from Ocean City, Maryland, to wherever they're doing that draft lottery. I'm not sure where they moved it to exactly. But
well, my question will be is, when somebody tried to pawn Kyle Lee off onto somebody and nobody wants him, what do you do then?
I don't know. That's for the bookers to decide. That's why they get paid.
There are no
bucks.
Bookers. There are writers, excuse me.
Okay, the writers.
If there were bookers, they would know what to do. Writers, on the other hand, probably not.
Phil Mushnick, of course, he's the sports columnist over at the New York Post.
Who's not a wrestling affendo. Right?
No, he's not a big fan of our Mr. McMahon. But he I guess, took some really cheap shots at Vince McMahon again on the New York Post in his column last week. I'm going to read you some of this. I don't know if you read this, Les.
I don't read Phil's column. I don't get that paper.
At the end it says, finally, completing our college theme, being an institution of higher learning doesn't ensure that a school is going to avoid traveling the lower roads. Connecticut's Sacred Heart University, during its May 13th graduation ceremony, bestowed an honorary doctorate on Vince McMahon. Charles Manson must have been unavailable. McMahon's speech to the class of 2007 was prefaced by an explanation that the honor is in recognition of all you are and all you promise to be. A Catholic institution, Sacred Heart's mission statement encourages a responsibility for the common good of society. To that end, no clips of Vince McMahon's vulgar kid-targeting WWE TV shows were shown, and so as to not embarrass him or the school, a long roll call of drug-afflicted and prematurely deceased pro wrestlers was also avoided. Incidentally, because he's the recipient of an honorary doctorate, Dr. McMahon will be unable to legally prescribe steroids to himself and to his wrestlers. Ouch.
Well, you know what? That's been ongoing since, well, back before the drug trials.
The 80s, yeah.
That's a lot of years. So anyway, well, you know what? The guy, I mean, he's a writer. He's welcome to his opinion. I mean, do I agree with everything Vince does? I absolutely do not. Vince has been a very successful businessman. He's the head of a big corporation. He didn't get up. I don't know. You know, I read a little bit of the speech now that he did, and I know he didn't get up and advocate drinking, drugging, child pornography or anything like that. So
did he advocate pudding matches, though?
Did he ever make what?
Did he advocate putting?
Probably
matches?
Not. Not if he was sober, he didn't. nor if he's using his brain, he didn't. But you know what? Here's the deal. I think the colleges in that situation that's what they're looking for. I don't know that you know it's for successful businessmen. Would you say? Would you say that's what they're you know?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be my thought too. But anyway, I mean, I'm not a George W. Bush fan, nor will I
right.
live long enough to be,
uh-huh.
Who is, I feel I'm more articulate than he is. But now if some college has him, they're cool. You know, and some of these colleges have had, I think, worse people than Vince McMahon probably, you know. it's that whole thing is Muchnick will potshot WWF, WWE, Vince, and the whole crew up.
But it also goes back
and the business that I happen to care a lot about.
Right. So, it also goes back to the general perception, I think.
Well, you know
wrestling.
What? And part of the perception is our problem, too. When I say our problem, it's the industry's problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's the perception we create.
Mm-hmm.
You know? When you tell me on one hand you want more mainstream advertising, so you got to clean up your diva act, and then on the next hand you're having a pudding match.
Yeah, I question
what you said on the first hand.
Right.
White man, and I'm saying this as an Indian, white man speak with forked tongue.
Right.
You know, as it said in the cowboy movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, whatever. You know, don't cry wolf if there isn't one.
Right.
You know, and you, I don't want to do that. I don't even want to get into that.
I guess they're not ready to go classy yet. I don't know.
Well, it's not classy. You know, it's not, I don't think it's got a, it's this thing about classy. You know, what's the common denominator? How low, you know, it's, or did Shane have to pin Bobby Lashley and please do away with the handicap matches and the stupid guys who were on the two people side.
Mm-hmm.
Are you crazy? You know, please, I don't think you're brave. I think you're idiots. Hey, let's go out and fight guys, and there's more of them than us. Hey, I can't wait.
Right.
What? Are you nuts? You know, that's.
Now, I could see somebody taking on two people smaller than them at one time. To be manly and to, you know,
Well, but see, but this whole thing is like, I mean, here's the thing. Things like this are to create heat, right? Those type of things were initiated years ago with, let's say, Nick Bockwinkel. Bobby Heenan was his manager, and Dick the Bruiser decided to take on Bockwinkel with Heenan, and you got to get a partner, okay, and then Bruiser would get a little person, a midget. I know that's not politically correct, but I don't know how to. A little person you might think I'm talking about a 9-year-old, but I'm not. A dwarf, okay? Whatever. But anyway, that's how that stuff started, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or,
right.
It's like the whole thing with Kip James. Why do you know? Well, they'd be my partner, so I'll go out there and get my ass whipped by both of them together. Well, okay, Kip, that's really smart. Do you want a brain scan, too? To see if you've got one? No, I mean, it's BS, and I won't use the two words that go with BS. It's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
It's childish, sophomoric. It goes on Saturday morning cartoons, maybe, but I don't see where it fits. You know, it just doesn't work. And then what's the value of Shane winning? You'll please tell me.
I know what it's supposed to be, but I...
No, well, tell me then, okay? Tell me.
Just to build heel heat.
Build heat on who?
Well, it's supposed to be...
build heat on who? Come
it's
on.
It's supposed to, in the end, build up Lashley. But right
and
now...
How does Shane and Vince beating Lashley every week build Lashley up?
Because it's annoying that they're so weaselly. And you want to see, you know, the more... Well, with Shane pinning him, now
so
you want to
see him beat Shane and Vince, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And since we know he can do that one-on-one, why do we want to see that?
I don't know. It's like that little kid on the playground. Like, you have your group of friends.
I'll check with some mongoloid nine-year-old, okay? And maybe he'll have a legitimate reason.
I'm going back that
far.
Oh,
I am talking to one, right?
I'm going back that far because it's basic.
What I want to know is what's your salary a year with that company?
Mine?
That you have your nose so firmly buried in its posterior.
That is not true at all. Maybe I am rationalizing
you're trying
bit.
To stand up for something that makes
not.
No sense.
I'm not. I'm playing devil's advocate on this one. But
well, okay. I'm playing the devil, okay? I'm not being the advocate. No, I'm playing the truth-sayer here. It makes no sense. When I say it, I'm not on the payroll. Do I wish I were? Absolutely. Can I use the money? I sure can. But, I mean... there's a lot. It's just silly. It's mm-hmm. not doing a thing for Bobby Lashley. I'm sorry.
If they did this thing with a wrestler, maybe
well,
it would work.
Yes, with a wrestler. Okay, then let Shane O'Mac and Vince O'Mac and Linda O'Mac and Stephanie O'Mac and Jesus Christ O'Mac manage whoever they want
right.
and hide behind them. Put the heat where it belongs on the wrestler. This is going to end up meaning nothing
right.
because they own the company, and it's not like we don't know that.
And
Vince has already lost his title, so he decided, well, I'm going to take my bat and go home because you're not playing by my rules, so why would I be interested to see him do that again?
Uh-huh.
Huh? You've got, let's see, it's 8:23. You've got an hour and, we'll just say roughly an hour and 40 minutes to come up with a lifetime to come up with a logical answer, and you can't. here's the problem with this whole thing. I'm speaking for people who won't speak. I mean, in this industry, who love this, I love this business, but I hate to see it bastardized. I hate to see it. Made it to a bigger joke than it can possibly be without any help. You're looking for a way out of this.
No, I'm not advocating what they're doing, but
okay.
I'm telling you what they are thinking they are accomplishing.
You're telling
that
me
was
what,
the whole thing.
Oh, and when did you and God last talk?
This is
and he I'm, gave you his
opinion. I'm giving you my opinion.
They called him Stanford and said, Doc, here's what we're thinking, right? Is that what you're telling me?
No.
No, then how do you know? Are they thinking? There's a more creditable question. Not what are they thinking, are they thinking? Or is it let's go entertain? Are they?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I'm just giving my opinion of what I think that they're trying to accomplish.
I thought the fact that they have a referee stop the match that's giving something back to the referee. But now if they're going to do that once every show, then that becomes BS too.
Right. And I think if somebody like Vince
I think these people that are writing and whoever okays some of this, Gaga, should go to professional wrestling school. I mean, one that's taught by someone that isn't on that payroll.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of this, I mean, they're so busy reinventing the wheel again. The wheel doesn't need to be reinvented.
Well, let me ask you this. If Shane or Vince got involved in a match like this, they were taking somebody on one-on-one, but they did it like once every 5 years, would it mean more?
It wouldn't. Well, after it's been done, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They are not wrestlers. And it's like, hey, guess what? John Cena's going to wrestle Coach next week, or Bobby Lashley's going to. Do I care? He's not a wrestler either. Guess what? Doc Young's going to take on the maintenance man at the armory in his hometown. Man, I can't. Can I get a ticket?
So you say McMahon?
I say it worked with Steve Austin.
Right.
I say you can't recycle it all the time because Vince is getting older. I don't know if you'd noticed that. Maybe Vince hasn't noticed that. I don't know. But why would a 60-plus-year-old man be a world champion?
Shouldn't.
Thank you. You're right. He shouldn't. And when I say this, I'm not paralleling myself with him. He's obviously a lot smarter and a trillion times richer. But you know, that's what I had my company. There were times that people would say, "When are you going to get involved in an angle here?" So I'm not. I never did. I mean, I shouldn't say. I went out and made a decision occasionally. I cut a promo. I might have find, you know, a situation like that. I did a six man with five kids that I trained. This was after I'd sold the company, and it was just something to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't involve myself in the angles, and there's a good reason why, because I didn't think I needed that. I've been there, done that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't living on it. It wasn't a fantasy trip. Now, if you want me to go play baseball with Duke Snyder and the Dodgers, you know, and God bless him, if Jackie Robinson and Roy Campanella, I bet I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that is a fantasy. This isn't a fantasy. It's a business. It's a friggin' business.
So, that was the point I was getting to. In hindsight, yeah. McMahon, Austin, worked once, let it go.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm saying now, but see, here's the other part, too. When it's not a case, we can forget you're the owner and still you pull the owner card.
Right.
You know, it's not the race card, it's the owner card. Well, okay, you beat me, but I'm not going to let you beat you. I'm going to keep the belt anyway. So you got to beat me again. Screw you.
Right. And
screw you.
And who's
That's
to
the
say,
answer to that.
And who's to say that he won't do that the second time you beat him?
And the third and the fourth. That's what I'm saying. It's you've created a situation that nobody cares about.
It's a logic paradox.
Huh?
It's a logic paradox.
Thank you, whatever that might be. It's stupid. Anyway, whatever it is, that I know what it is. No, but I mean, it's here again. There is logic and psychology to booking wrestling,
mm-hmm.
to writing wrestling. I know. I've never written for Hollywood. You know what? I really don't care. I don't want to be a booker. I never wanted to be a booker. I got involved in that to a certain degree on several occasions, but I never wanted. Here's the book. I honest to God, I was offered the book. I won't tell you by who, because I'm not going to get into that. And I didn't want it. It's like a baseball manager or a head coach of a basketball. At some point, you get hired, you get fired
because
mm-hmm. you run out of ideas. And I just wasn't interested in getting involved in that anyway, because that's a lot of pressure. But anyway, I do enjoy helping with manipulation to a certain, you know, and adding. Now, if you give me a scenario, I will try to take the rough edges off of it and make sense out of it. Making sense out of it. That's the wrong thing. This is not 1967. This is 2007. Forget it, Les. We don't need you to make sense out of anything. Sense is not what we're about. But, I mean, again, if the best movies that adults watch, you know, don't they have logic? Don't they make sense to a certain degree?
Yeah.
Okay. Then this doesn't to me. See, it just doesn't. And it doesn't anybody else either. But if you pay me enough, I'll tell you it's great. Doc, if you lay six solid figures and benefits on me, I'll tell you any damn thing you want. We're all hookers, man. It's just a matter of establishing price, okay?
Yeah.
It's just, when I say this, I don't dislike Vince. I think Vince is a nice guy. I've never had a cross word with the man.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked a little to Shane. He seems like a nice kid. I'm just talking, this is business.
Right.
This is not personal, right?
All right, I have to admit it, Les. WWE sends me a new action figure every month.
I don't doubt that.
I don't even know
what you do with them, okay?
I run my own imaginary especially wrestling federation.
Especially if it's the female action figures. I don't want to know what you do with them.
Let's move on to some TNA news now.
Because my granddaughters have a computer now, and they may be listening to this, and I would rather they didn't know what you did with those dolls.
That's so rude, Les.
It's so factual. That's rude but factual, okay?
Okay,
I would say when I saw the opening of the Bikini Battle Royal, I thought Doc is having multiple orgasms over this. He's just in a swoon in front of his television.
Can we say that on this show?
I guess we can. I've heard people say worse than that.
That's true. The Wrestling Observer is reporting that Dana White stated in a press release that negotiations are back on between UFC and Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
White said that Angle's made it clear he is serious about fighting in MMA. White added he felt Angle would need at least 6 months of training before he would be able to make his MMA debut.
Yeah, okay. The check's in the mail. and I'll respect you in the morning, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, and I am no Olympic wrestler, and I am certainly no MMA fighter, okay? If he is going to do that, he has got to stop. He's got to step down from TNA this moment and concentrate everything on that. And there's more to it. You got to realize, listen, his wrestling background is great, but as far as striking and in the octagon and everything, that's a whole different ballgame.
Right.
And that's something you're not going to pick up in a minute or a day or a month. You know, that's like some of these idiots that tell you, well, pay me this and that, and I'll make you a professional wrestler in 3 months. Okay, sure. Check's in the mail, and I'll respect you in the morning. Okay?
Right.
No, I'm not saying he can't. I'm saying that the biological clock is ticking, A. B, he can't do it and work TNA on a weekly basis. He can't do it and do anything on a weekly basis.
But TNA,
I don't have a problem with Kurt Angle one way or the other. I mean, he's not my close friend. I certainly don't dislike him. He's a great athlete. Was a hell of a worker, is a hell of a worker. I just don't think 6 months is adequate. And plus, you know, he's got to get back. He's got to get away from that working style, too.
Right. I think what Dana's meaning, and I don't know, this is just my opinion, is that just to get in the ring, he would need probably about 6 months of training, whether he's good at it or not. That's what it's going to take for him to be able to step in the ring.
If he's not good at it,
then his career's ruined.
Well, you know, why now? I can't speak for the rest of the world. But if he goes out there with whoever, I don't even care who it is, and they hand him his butt on a silver platter, do I want to book him back as one of my top workers in my wrestling promotion? I don't think so.
No. And does it make wrestling look bad? Yes.
Of course it does. Of course it does, you know?
That's serious stuff. Speaking of MMA and wrestling and things like that, MMA Weekly is reporting that the California State Athletic Commission has denied Brock Lesnar's scheduled opponent, Hongman Choi, a license to fight.
Yeah, I'm aware of that, and I'm curious. One of the guys that I train is involved in MMA. Craig Zellner's his real name. He wrestled for me as Ray Steele. Hell of an athlete, one of the best I've ever worked with. We were talking about that, and you would think, of course, he didn't have an answer for me either, but I would think if I were booking this fight in California and this guy who's supposed to be Lesnar's opponent, I would be sure before I booked it that he was healthy enough to pass the physical.
Right.
B, I wouldn't have him fighting in secondary fights if this fight in L.A. is so important, and it obviously is. Would have never come to this, and I'm so curious is the business, what kind of business these guys run?
I don't know. It says the hope internally is that Choi's going to pass a physical later on, but if he fails to do so, Lesnar's not going to have an opponent this Saturday for the K-1 Dynamite.
Well, you know, looking at it from the promoter standpoint, how much money are they going to lose? I mean, here's the thing. Everybody's jumping on the MMA bandwagon because it's a hot product. But it's short of UFC in this country, virtually all the other ones are just minor leagues and not making a lot of money,
right?
If any, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the deal is, where do they go from there? It's not like, okay, we got Brock Lesnar against some guy nobody's ever heard of, and I don't care how big he's a big guy. That I'm aware of. I don't care how big. If you've never heard of him, it doesn't matter if he's 5'1".
Right.
But the point is, so there's no. It's not like you're guaranteed that you're just going to sell out in L.A. or guaranteed to anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, why cover all your bases, man? I mean, you don't let things like this happen.
Right.
You know, and they're talking about Tank Abbott, which again, I think Tank had a. Made some difference in the MMA world, 10 years ago. I think anymore that he doesn't matter. And I forget who else they had mentioned, but I don't see, Butterbean. What?
Right.
Here again, he probably knocked me out in a heartbeat too. That's not the point, right? That's not an MMA. He's not an MMA fighter. That's the point.
Right.
And to put Lesnar out there against him is a dog and pony show, and it's not what Lesnar deserves either.
Right.
You know, it's just, I'm amazed, that something like that is in the works. And of course, this thing gets closer. And if the guy doesn't pass the physical, if I were the promoter and the guy was going to lose the money on this, man, I would never mind chewing my nails, be chewing my fingers down the first joint, for Christ's sake.
Absolutely. Saturday night's main event, guys, of course, is also Saturday. It's gotten word from the Wrestling Observer
Saturday. Is it really?
Yes.
Well, see, why I tune into this show, you give me all this pertinent information.
It's not just a clever title, Les. It's on Saturday.
Oh, I'm wound up. I can't help myself.
The Wrestling Observer is reporting, though, that in the Tampa-St. Petersburg area, it's not going to be airing on WFLA Channel 8. They're doing an all-children's telethon or something like that. They don't have a repeat ready in place yet, so hopefully they will repeat it over the weekend. But if you are in the Tampa area, you're not going to be seeing Saturday night's main event. But on to the card, you are going to be seeing, some matches. Edge and MVP... taking on Benoit and Batista, which I think would be a good one.
Should be all right. It should be a decent match, I would think. Yeah.
Here's a weird thing, though. They've got Kane, Eugene, and Doink the Clown going to be taking on Kevin Thorne, Viscera, and Umaga. Isn't that just like it seems like they just took six random people and threw them together.
Do I care?
Doesn't it seem like that?
Well, where did Doink the Clown come from?
I know.
And pray tell, what is the rationale that makes you think he's going to draw on Saturday night? I mean, are you going to rush home from whatever it is you're doing and sober up in time to see Doink the Clown?
My only guess is that it wouldn't really be Doink the Clown. It'd be a guy dressed up like Doink the Clown. But
they own the rights to the name. It can
right.
be, I mean, who is Doink the Clown? How many have there been?
But I figured that maybe they'll make an angle out of it.
You mean it's not going to be Matt Bourne, is what you're saying?
No, it won't actually be Doink the Clown. It would be like somebody on the roster.
Was not Steve Kern Doink the Clown once?
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe it's Steve. He's on the roster. I mean, But I mean, the point is, how many Doink the Clowns have there been around this country? And it's a matter of makeup and a costume.
Right.
And who is Doink the Clown?
That's right, but I think maybe it'll be somebody on the roster.
Let me finish.
Somebody who's a featured entertainer on the roster who will, you know, pull the wig off and show who he really is.
Wipe the face paint off and say, it's me.
Yeah, and maybe start a feud with somebody on the other team. That's what I'm trying to get at. I don't know. I'm just thinking.
Well, stop.
And of course,
stop! It's hurting me.
And of course, in a rematch from the legendary first match, it's John Cena versus Kali in the main event on Saturday night.
I can't wait to see that one all over. Yeah. Wait a minute. It's Falls Count Anywhere and No Disqualification, or is that on?
That's on the
pay per view.
That's the pay per view.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Pinfalls.
Well, you know what? The fact that John got one match out of Kali, to me, was pretty. That was like one of the seventh, eighth wonder of the world. If he can get two more,
I know. I can't believe they're going to do this three times.
God bless him. I can't imagine anybody wants to see it three times.
I don't.
Well, I don't either.
Guys,
and I would think that's why NBC is running it at 11:30 on Saturday night, opposed to the earlier time.
Maybe. Yeah, trying to get a new audience, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Guys who are used to watching.
Wait till we see the ratings on this thing.
Saturday Night Live.
Well,
or something.
The big match now, you didn't mention the big match is the Boogeyman and the Little Boogeyman
versus Finley
and Hornswoggle. Where the hell that name came from?
I think they don't want him to say "little bastard" on MTV.
Well, you know what?
NBC.
I don't want to say that either, but Hornswoggle means absolutely nothing. Here's a match I didn't want to see the first time. The second or the 9,882nd time.
Right.
So if you think I'm insinuating I probably won't watch Saturday night main event, you're probably right.
I thought that, you know, having a mini...
And I will probably be among the majority opposed to the minority.
I thought that having a mini, wrestler based on, you know, the tall wrestler, the big wrestler, if you will, I thought that was kind of corny in the 80s.
Well, it's.
And I was not a teenager yet.
Unless they both can actually work and work with one another. And I don't know if either one of these guys can actually work a lick. I'll tell you the truth, of the little people, there's very few that can even work anymore. Legitimately, it's true.
Overall wise, rosters they don't have a lot of depth.
I remember when the guys like Cowboy Lang and Lord Littlebrook and those guys were on the out traveling and working the territories. Man, there were some good little hands. Mm-hmm. Brooke was as good as any big guy. I mean, in terms of being a heel, Pee Wee Lopez, another guy who was to me was the Latin Buddy Rogers, shrunk in a dryer, for God's sakes. I mean, he was just a tremendous little athlete. But I mean, a lot of those guys out of work. I've seen some little people on shows. Quite frankly, my question is, why are they on shows? I mean, they're just because they're little people. Mm-hmm. I saw two guys, and I can't think where the show was. They were just, and when I say this, it was horrendous. I mean, horrendous. I thought somebody needs to sell them both memberships to a wrestling school.
Yeah.
They couldn't. They had no idea what they were doing. None. So I don't know if these two guys are any good or not. I really don't. Whether they just...
I don't either. And I feel like WWE brings these guys out so everybody can laugh at them.
Well, you're kidding.
That's why I get that.
Well, it is. You're right. And you know what? The thing of it is, with a lot of the little guys during my time, it was comic relief. But and there were times I've worked a couple of mixed matches with Cowboy Lang as my partner. And the crazy thing was, the heel could get a lot of steam just by slamming that little guy. The big heel. And I don't want to talk about the little heel.
Right.
But anyway, it was a different time and a different place. The matches that are on this show are just not anything that.
If they presented the little people as athletes, instead of look, he looks just like Boogeyman, except he's little. He. You know that mentality.
Yeah.
Then I would enjoy it. Yeah. To see the little people wrestle.
Right.
But this, I feel guilty watching it because it's put there for them to laugh at him. That's all it's about.
Well, here's, and I'm going to, I don't know how this is going to sound. I don't know how to say it politically correct. I am not politically correct, and I'm not going to apologize for that. There was a guy here who was a sports writer. He was a little person and PR man for the old Cincinnati Royals basketball team and everything. Tremendously brilliant and everything, but a lot of little people, you got to realize, going back, work circuses and the movies and special deals and so they were portrayed as comic figures. Mm. Now I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that's the way it was.
Right.
And that's what they did. They made money off of their size, the same as a guy, the same as Kali.
Right.
And you know what? And they're better athletes. And I laugh at him when I see him. It's a laugh. Then it turns into crying and hysteria because he's horribly lacking in talent. But it's the same thing, just a difference in the footage.
Right.
But would he have a job if he weren't that big?
No.
Thank you. And they wouldn't have a job with this company if they weren't that small.
And I guess it goes back to the hooker thing.
And if they're paid, well, in this case, it's the company. But I mean, It's like the movies to a certain degree, or a TV series. It's typecasting, They're looking for that. When they came up with Little Boogeyman, they weren't going to draft a guy 7 feet tall or a guy as tall as the Boogeyman.
Right.
And virtually anybody can outwork him. So, I mean, that wasn't – if somebody was a better worker, it would – hell, you grab anybody out of the audience pretty much,
That's going to be great, like Sunday, to turn on the Internet and say – Little Boogeyman carried Boogeyman to a good match.
I doubt it. It's tragic. When I say tragic, I mean they're going to make money off of it, and I'm not. That's tragic, too. But no,
that's tragic.
No, it's, again, at the right price, Doc, I'll be anything or do anything you want.
Cool.
When I say this, it's not personal. These guys are all hired guns, right? It's a job,
mm-hmm.
and they're doing what they're paid to do. The fact that they can do it with a straight face sometimes is more amazing to me than the fact that they can do it.
Right.
the fact that they don't regurgitate all over themselves or just burst out laughing at the ludicrous thing they're presenting. But anyway, you know, it's, you know, it's 2007, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
guys, we're gonna take a break, guys. When we come back, we've got from the Figure Four newsletter and the Wrestling Observer Live radio show, Brian Alvarez is going to be here. Guys, in a little bit, we're going to play the pay-per-view prediction game. One Night Stand is this weekend. It's not ECW One Night Stand anymore. It's just WWE One Night Stand. And we're going to go over the card for that, find out, well, we're going to give our predictions, actually, of who's going to win and lose. And come back next week and find out who got more predictions right. Also, don't forget our featured guest, A-Train. Matt Bloom's going to be here, so... You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher on Wrestling Weekly, guys. Stick around. We'll be right back.
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
Brooklyn! Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures, you can obtain your need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
Hi, my name's Adam Nudelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nudelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, the best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now for a hot topic this week, he is from the Figure Four newsletter at F4WOnline.com and, of course, the Wrestling Observer Live radio program. He hosts that along with Dave Meltzer. Brian Alvarez is here. Brian, thanks for returning to Wrestling Weekly.
Thanks for having me on.
And we might mention that you are also live, not just the Sure Observer Live, but you are live as well.
That's I am live.
That's true. So, okay.
Last time
we had you on, Brian, we spoke about your big rematch with Larry Sweeney. It was supposed to happen in July, but I guess now that's been pushed back a little bit.
Yeah, the July date was canceled, and there isn't a confirmed date yet, but the promoter has vowed to put that match together in 2007. So it will be happening sometime this year, probably sometime this summer, but I don't know everything absolutely for certain yet, so... I'm pretty sure that when things come out, the press release will probably be out long before I know for sure, would be my guess.
Everybody, your listeners will tell you.
Yes, that's actually how I found out about the rematch, was I went to my board, and there was the announcement. So.
I told you, with that in mind, last time we talked, you were going to hold them up for more money. Did you do that?
Well, this time I have something that I need to accomplish, so I'm willing to not hold them up for money this time. Should I take the championship back home, then Larry's going to have to mortgage his mother's home in order to get me back to defend it. So.
That's true. What are you going to do with the belt if you win it?
I don't know.
Melt it down, make some earrings, what?
Sure, something like that, a chain. I'm missing a hubcap, so perhaps I could be the rim of one of my tires.
Cool.
A lot of different ideas.
Yeah, whenever you go back up there, because it's like I said, it's about 4 hours away, I'll come back up, man, and we'll hit a karaoke bar or something. Because Doc plays
like fun.
Doc plays a mean round of karaoke.
Really?
Yes.
Well, it'll be fun watching him.
And Les, we're gonna try to drag you up there.
Well, you know what? I've seen Brian in a bar. I've never seen him sing.
You won't.
You can't miss this. No, we will force you, Brian. We'll have Larry Sweeney come down too and force you.
Well,
to the mic.
The main thing is, Doc. Do we have to acknowledge we know you? If you get up and do karaoke, or can we just pretend like, hey, there's another goofy drunk?
Not during the performance. You don't. No, you can heckle all you want.
I would have to be a fantastically goofy drunk to get up there and sing. So.
We're going to try to accomplish
that. I'm
going to
tell you a funny story before we go any farther about two guys neither one are old enough to have seen wrestle. But this happened in Norfolk, Virginia. There was an after-hours club a lot of the boys used to frequent. Rip Hawk and Sweet. Well, Rip Hawk was the guy who Ric Flair partnered up with in Charlotte when he first came in there in, what, 74, I guess it was. But anyway... Swede owned a club in Charlotte later. But anyway, Swede and Rip were one of the big heel teams. And Swede liked to sing. This wasn't karaoke. This was sing. Anyway, so because of the being a celebrity, he got up to sing with the band at this club. And sitting near him, or sitting near the table he and Rip were at, were some guys who had some wise cracks and some disparaging remarks to make about Swede singing, and Rip stood up for him. So anyway, long story short, it ended up Rip is taking, these guys start taking swings at Rip, and Rip starts swinging back at him, right? So finally, here comes Swede, and well, if you'd had to see Big Swede, I mean, I've seen him take two guys out in the parking lot of his bar one night without any help at all and without breaking a sweat. But anyway, once Swede made the scene, Rip was pretty tough old Marine too. But anyway, once Swede made the scene, it was over. Rip says to Swede, he said, "What the hell's up?" And Rip and Swede said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, I'm out here defending your honor, and it, you know, the distance from the stage to here is like nothing, and it seemed like it took you an hour." He said, "Well, I had to finish my song."
Brian, we'll try to recreate that.
Sure, yeah.
So you got to, you know, he was performer right to the very end, right?
His absolutely.
His tag team partner was fighting two guys. He had to finish his
That's funny. Brian, what's the hot topic this week, man?
Well, I mean, if it's his tag team partner, he should be fighting off two guys.
Yeah. Hey, so, right. They're doing handicap matches like crazy. There's something I said earlier in the show, Brian. Please stop. I've seen already too many stupid handicap matches.
Right.
It's meaningless, for God's sakes. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry I didn't mean to interrupt. What is the hot topic for this evening?
Well, we were talking during the break, and you guys had mentioned you covered pretty much every subject that was going on in the last couple of days of any importance, and Les mentioned something that reminded me of Vince's new decree that I guess everything, men must follow the rules, it's a number of new decrees. The one you talked about was the bikini deal.
Right.
Where Vince got on a kick that lasted approximately 7 days, where he decided girls must be classy.
Right.
We need to have some classy girls here. Let's we'll dress them up in a more elegant manner. We're not going to be having these wacky lingerie contests. We're going to make these women respectable. And this lasted, like I said, about 7 days. So last night we had the battle royal and everything like that, and leading up to the pudding match at the ECW pay-per-view, the extreme pudding match, and it got me thinking about the other thing that has been driving me crazy lately, which is the decree that everybody needs to follow the rules,
mm-hmm.
meaning the referees. He wants to empower the referees. So the referees have been encouraged to count three if a guy doesn't get his shoulder up, which actually happened in France. Victoria was doing a match. It was a four-way, and she didn't get her shoulder up.
Right.
And she got pinned. So
and
there was a woman's title change.
She lost the belt for about an hour or two.
Well, it was Melina that lost the belt, but it was one of those wacky four-way deals. So yeah, they had to scramble and come back out and redo the match and put the belt back on Melina. But the point was, I mean, this is his new deal. He wants people to understand that if you don't break on five, you'll be disqualified, this, that, and the other thing. And to me, I like the idea that there are rules that are uniform across an entire brand.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the things that frustrates me when I watch TNA, for example, is you'll often have these matches, and in one match, like a baseball bat will be allowed for
right.
no reason. It's just the guy's gimmick, so he can use it. But then in the next match, if somebody uses a championship belt, it's a disqualification.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's hard to suspend your disbelief when nothing makes sense.
Yes.
So the thing that really frustrated me this week was they had a match on ECW, and it was a tag match, and it broke down into a four-way, which we've seen in every tag match in the last 20 years in WWE, WCW, TNA, every group there is. Well, on ECW, it broke down into a four-way, and the ref called for the bell. Four men in the ring, too many. And
nice.
This was the main event.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, if you're going to enforce these rules, you should probably start maybe on the undercard.
Right.
So people don't pay for a main event and they get a stupid finish like this.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing that really upset me was then on Raw this week, we had a six-man tag, and six men got in the ring. And it was not a disqualification. And then
that
we had a main event.
Eight-man, wasn't it?
Let's see. Yeah, it was an eight-man. Eight
right.
men in the ring, not a DQ. And then the main event was the three-on-two match, and we had five people in the ring at the comeback, and it was not a disqualification. So to me, you just told everybody that the DQ that you gave them on ECW was just, I guess, to anger them. What's the point of it?
Right.
And I guess it's a little thing. In fact, it is a small thing, but I don't want this trend to continue of in trying to make everything make sense, they're actually making nothing make sense because nothing is consistent across all of the brands.
There's the key, I think, Brian, is consistency. Jimmy Cornette has said it best to a lot of guys, and when he was pulling the reins at OVW, that was the case. When I had a company, if you came to work one of my shows and had never been on a show for me, I said, here's the deal. You lay your hands on my referee, he's going to disqualify you. You do not touch my officials. You can get up in his nose, but don't touch him. Don't shove him. Don't knock him down unless it happens to be in the finish. The other thing is, if he counts to five, you're done. Listen to his count. And why is the reasoning? Because you can't be a heel if there's no rules to break.
Yes.
And there have, you know, and what it was like last night with the concussion angle, which I'm not real happy with. To me, that's too much like real life, you know, Nowinski and the whole thing. They're playing this concussion thing up like crazy now all of a sudden. But I, the fact that the referee stopped the match, I'm not adverse to that. But I think you have to build and teach on those things. Let me give you a quick example, and then I'll turn it back over to you. When George Scott took the book in the Carolinas initially, one of the things, because it was such a big tag team territory, one of the things he did is added a new rule to tag team wrestling, and that new rule was that you were allowed two saves per fall or per match. In other words, if you and I are partners and you're close to being pinned, I can make two saves. The third time, the referee's going to disqualify me. Now, how do we establish that? We establish it by doing it on television and having a guy come in on the third and be disqualified, and with the announcers explaining it in detail why he was disqualified. And it takes a little while to, you know, and I think part of the thing is that the writers and the uninformed people in the companies, when they start these things, they hear an adverse reaction, and they think, oh, we can't do that anymore. But what they got to understand, it took them a while to establish an audience who didn't think there were any rules, or the referees were just clowns jumping around in striped shirts and had no power whatsoever. And it's going to take time to re-educate the people to what they want.
Let me ask you a question. When the ring announcer explained what had happened in this disqualification, did he say it was because he came in three times, or did he say it was because he came in too much?
No, they didn't say anything. They just rang the bell.
No,
are you talking ECW or are you talking to Les?
For my thing with
I was talking about Les's thing.
Okay, Les's thing.
Well, of course. It was stated that there is a new rule in tag team wrestling in the Mid-Atlantic wrestling, and that is you are allowed to save your partner two times,
okay.
And that's it.
Okay.
But see, that's the other thing, too, and now, as far as for heels, Cornette says it best. If there are no rules, there's no rules for you to break, then you can't be a heel.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the count. I always tell you, listen to the count. Get back from. I mean, you can do whatever you need to do. One, two, three. Step back. Take a deep breath. Count to two, and go right back at the guy again if you have to. But if the referee has to stop his count and he has to stop it more than once, I don't care what. I don't care if it's on Raw last night or on Podunk Wrestling Indies tonight. At some point, the fans figure it out. And where does the heat go? It doesn't go on the heel. It goes on the referee. Oh, it must be the bad guy's brother. It must be his father, or he's paying him, or whatever. Or it's part of the show, which is even a worse offense than thing. It's his brother, or he's paid.
Right.
You know, would I be right, Brian?
Yeah, and the thing with you, you mentioned the refereeing deal.
Yeah.
And I sort of have a love-hate relationship with that because I think that refs should count. I don't like the idea of holding up your count because the guy didn't get his shoulder up. That's his fault.
Yeah.
You should count three. But at the same time, there have been a couple of times in WWE, and even more so in Ring of Honor, where it's taken to an extreme where it hurts the match. I was doing a tag match in Oregon with a guy in his first match, and he was on the apron, and they got the heat on me, and the fans are clapping. We're about to make the hot tag and everything like that, and I jumped up to make the tag, and I missed him by an inch, something that nobody could have possibly seen. But because it was his first match, he didn't know what to do, so he didn't get in.
Right.
He reached over, and he's reaching for me, and he's trying to touch me or whatever, and I just screamed, go, get in, because that moment right there had killed the entire momentum of the match. He looked stupid for standing there. The heels looked stupid for not coming after us. They had to just stand there and wait for him.
Right.
And the whole match fell apart. And I've seen it in Ring of Honor where you're having a tag match, and it's building to the finish, and the place is going crazy, and some guy drops down for a cover, and the ref's like, you're not the legal man. And nobody was aware of that, particularly in Briscoe's matches where most of the fans can't tell the two guys apart. But that right there completely kills the momentum. And I've seen it in WWE where they're going for all the near falls, and the referee will drop down, and a guy's shoulder may be, you know, up a quarter of an inch, and the ref won't count till it's all the way down, which, again, kills the momentum.
Well, and, you know what? Let me stop you right there. As a promoter, as a trainer, as a coach, I saw this in a show in Elizabethan 2 weeks ago when I was in Tennessee, and I saw it from the back. And I called the referee on it, and I called the two wrestlers. And I said, okay, you're all three at fault here. First of all, if I saw it clear in the back with these old eyes, then everybody else saw it.
Right.
But here's the thing. If you know it's the finish, A, whoever's being pinned should be fighting to get his shoulders down. B, the guy covering should
make sure the shoulders
are down. And three, the referee should, there's nothing wrong with sliding your hands on their bust shoulders before you start your count. And if it's not down, what should we do? Then you get up and you go into, you come up with a new finish. Now, if you're intelligent enough to do that, then you belong there. And if you're not, then you didn't belong there to begin with.
Right. So it,
if
know.
I just stepped on your toes, Brian, I'm sorry.
No, I just think it's a tough balance that you need to find.
But it's also knowing your craft, am I right?
Yeah, it is. It is all three people responsible.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if counting the pin is... I'm actually thinking of the incident where Vince covered Lashley. They were doing some sort of angle. And Lashley, all he'd taken was like an avalanche in the corner.
Right.
And, you know, Vince covered him, and Lashley didn't get a shoulder up. And the ref counted pin, and to me, that hurt Lashley really bad. And I think when a ref slides his hand under to check the shoulders, you know, if the guy's not getting his shoulder up, give him a little help, you know what I mean, or something of
yeah,
that nature.
Right.
But it's tough because in that situation, I don't think the ref should have counted because that really hurt Lashley. But in other situations, I think it hurts the match to not count.
Right.
And there was another finish where it was Vince and Lashley again, actually, where Vince made the cover, and the ref counted, but Lashley's shoulder was up a little bit, so the ref held up his count, and then when the shoulder was down, he counted again. So really, Vince McMahon had pinned Lashley for like 6 seconds, which was far worse than just counting the pin if the shoulder was up a little bit.
Right.
But isn't that Lashley's fault?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, sure it is. Sure.
But it's tough.
You know, and how hard is it, you know, if you can't get both of your shoulders on the mat, my question is, why are you there?
Yeah, that is an issue.
You know, I mean, really, why? I mean, and when I say, you know, when I say these things, guys, these are always things that, we're talking about, you've used the word detail, you're talking about little things. It's the little things that make the big things work.
Yep.
You know, it's the little things in a good Oscar-nominated movie that make it Oscar-nominated, you know, and it's the little things that are in our business that should suspend your disbelief if it's going to be suspended at all. I think, and these are the things that we're talking about here. It's and if the people see it and you go on with it, then it's like, okay, it's all a show. So you haven't suspended a disbelief. I still believe that people come today wanting, you know, sometimes praying to please suspend my disbelief, even though I'm having a hard time buying into this crap.
Mm.
You know, but again, that's the level the business has come to. It is nobody pays attention to detail, and I was taught detail. I mean,
well, what it is, is the people. I think a lot of the promoters don't care about details because they don't think that the fans care about details. When in reality, I think a lot of fans, even if they don't even think about it, in the back of their mind, they're paying attention to details.
Yes.
And even if they don't understand why something is wrong,
they know it is.
They know something is wrong.
Yeah.
And they know something doesn't make sense.
I agree.
And I guess to conclude, I think if you're going to enforce rules, that's fine, but you just got to enforce them consistently.
Across the board. You're right.
Yeah.
I agree. Well, see, you know, and I'll tell you another thing. Of course, you know, with indies or trainees or something, it's hard. But the one, when I mentioned George Scott, here's another thing. You know, everybody talks about, well, how George Scott was an old school booker and he created a problem in WCW and he created a problem. Well, whatever. George did a hell of a job a lot of places, but that's neither here nor there. You know, we were always told, we need 10 minutes out of this match or 15 out of this match or whatever it happened to be, right? Now, we're also told that if you go out there and screw this up and you don't get your shoulder up on a count or you don't break at the count of five or you're not back in the ring at the count of 10 or 20, whatever the floor count was at that time, and the referee is, his instructions are to count you out or to count you down.
Yeah.
Okay, now, here's also the deal. If it went 5 minutes, it was supposed to go 10, then we'll pay you for five. So that made you think a lot harder when you went out there.
Right.
Yeah. And it should, well, see, but that...
What if it went 20? Would you get paid double?
Yeah. Well, the problem with the indies, and I'm going to say this, and if there's 1,000 indie guys listening, my father used to say, if the shoe fits, wear it. I say, wear it if it fits. If you're playing at this, then... I'm not talking to you because you're just a play baby anyway. But to me, even if you're playing at it, you should go out there and take it seriously because there are people trying to make a living at it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest problem is it starts at the lower levels, you know, and how you're conditioned. But the problem is, as Brian's pointed out, sometimes they see what's going on TV. Well, I'll do that too. Which
right.
doesn't, you know, it's like Ric Flair doing low blows. I can't tell you how many times I said, well, Ric Flair, I don't give a damn. That don't make it right. And if your resume looks like his, then I'll let you get away with it too, okay? Which means that you're not going to get away with it because your resume is never going to look like his. But, I mean, there's part of the problem too is the people enforcing these things. And what I mean by that is the people, promoters, writers, bookers, call them whatever, you know, but the people in charge at these shows.
Right.
You know? I'm not invited to the shows of my old company. Well, I am invited. Cody wouldn't mind if I came. The boys wouldn't want me there because they have. I watched their show on TV here Saturday and watched one of their tag team champions pin another guy, and the idiot, and I say idiot because he had to be, slid his. This is facing a camera. Slid his arm under his opponent's right shoulder, and the referee counted him down. And my wife took all the sharp objects away from me, and wouldn't allow me to tear up our big TV screen. It was total, inept, stupid, ignorant, and they're all at fault. The referee's at fault for he obviously saw it. The idiot doing the pinning is at fault because he stuck. And this is a guy who's been around the business a while, but it's sloppy work.
Yeah,
it's sloppy work. And guys, it's a job. It's a business. If you're on an assembly line, I don't give a damn how long you've been doing it. If the guy next to you is making a mistake, do you want to get fired too?
No.
The problem is the indies are so sloppy and laxed that nobody cares. And it runs across the board. And part of it is what Brian's saying is what they see on TV, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think I don't even know what the answer is as far as, I talk to indie guys every day that don't watch anything. I mean, they watch other indies, and I don't understand. Like, to me, I think that if you don't like WWE, fine. But if your goal is to eventually get to WWE, you need to watch every single show because that's what you need to be if you want to be there. I mean, it's I don't know.
You know what? I wouldn't disagree with you. I disagree with your wording. What you need to be is better than what's there.
Sure. Yes. Yes. But you need to be able to watch that to understand what you're competing with.
Sure.
I mean, you can't expect to make it to WWE or TNA, and just not actually pay any attention to what they're doing.
Right.
I mean, great. You may not like it. I mean, there's lots of stuff I don't like. I still. You know, I watch it because it's part of my job.
Sure.
And as an independent wrestler, it's part of your job to know what you need to be if you want to achieve a certain goal.
Right.
I agree. When I teach, I teach the way I teach. But then I make it very clear that here are some things that you may need to go to this company or to this company, you know, but keep, here's the foundation. The foundation I want to put under you means is where you can go anywhere.
Yeah.
But now if you want to go here, you may want to do more of this and less of that and so forth and so on. No, I know exactly what you're saying, and you're right. You're absolutely right. And most guys don't look at it as a job. They, you know, sadly enough, I mean, here's the thing. And I don't mean this personal front. You know, you take seriously what you do, but it's not a full-time occupation for you. The sad thing is, some of these guys aren't any better than you or my Uncle Joe, who's a weekend golfer. They know they're never going to be able to play with Tiger, mm-hmm. and they don't care. They don't care how bad they look physically. They don't care how bad their work is. They're playing. It's a fantasy camp for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, part of that is also goes to the promoter.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Because, I mean, if you look a certain way and you work a certain way and you still get booked, I mean, I can't necessarily completely fault you.
Well, no. If they don't care how you're physically out of shape or that you can't work a lick or that you can barely walk and chew gum at the same time and they still book you, I guess not. It's just, you know, my problem with that, though, is I have eliminated myself from certain pursuits over my lifetime simply because I knew I wasn't going to be very good at them. And I'm not interested in doing anything I can't do well. Although I could say that 80% of the independent industry can't do it well, and they love doing it. You know, and again, if I'm stepping on toes, please feel the crunch of my foot. I really don't give a damn. You know, you're talking about what I've given my life to, and that's the way I look at it, and I'm not making any apologies for that, and I expect everyone else that does it to look at it the same way. I don't care if it's a hobby or if it's a full-time occupation. Why do anything you do half-ass? That's my point. You know, I don't understand. Why not look in the mirror and do it out of personal self-respect, for God's sakes?
Mm-hmm.
You know. Well, you know, here, and I'm not going to blow smoke. Brian did this thing with Vinny. He could have been in the same shape Vinny was in if he wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cared. The money was in the bank, right, Brian?
It was paid in advance.
Okay, but you went out and got yourself in shape, and I'm sure you're not going to show up in Indiana in August 40 pounds overweight, are you?
That's probably a pretty good bet.
Yeah.
Well, you know, because and for it's not you're doing not doing it for Buddy Wayne, your trainer. You're not doing it for me. You're not doing it for Dave Meltzer. You're doing it for your out of personal pride, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's I don't know, because I do see a lot of people, and I ask that same question, like, how?
Yeah,
how
right.
can you look like this?
Yeah,
I mean, not everybody is going to look like Lex Luger. That's fine, but not everybody needs to look like Butterbean.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Not everybody, but Brian, I want to thank you for being on. We got to get going here. We're running out of time, but.
Oh, I'm enjoying this. Brian's on a roll too.
I love having Brian on the show.
I do too.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm available anytime.
Cool, guys.
And girls, don't take that the wrong. But he's available to you.
That's right.
He's also, yeah, he's single, too. F4WOnline.com, guys, is where you can check out Brian's stuff. He does the Figure Four weekly newsletter. Also, Wrestling Observer Live is available. It's at WrestlingObserver.com on Sundays, guys.
So Brian, check that out, yeah. Figure4Online.com.
The king of, he's the prince of YouTube, actually, also, as far as shoot promos.
Right.
The prince of YouTube.
He's the prince
right?
of YouTube. Brian, I want to thank you for being on. We'll talk to you again in a few weeks.
All right, thanks for having me.
Brian, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Take care.
See you guys.
Brian Alvarez on Wrestling Weekly, guys. Well, let's get straight into it, Les. Let's go to the, let's play the pay-per-view prediction
let's
game.
Let's play.
Let me find a sheet of paper where I can write these down.
Don't forget.
Oops, that wasn't good.
That the click you heard was
the click you heard was me dropping my my remote mic.
All right, but, you know who we need to get on this show? Alex Marvez sometime.
Alex Marvez, yeah. Let's talk about that.
I haven't talked to Alex in a while. You know, he's now the president of the Football Writers of America.
Really?
Yes, God love him. And he's also, you know, co-authored the our training manual with Harley and Steamer and myself. And he does a wrestling column nationally and then posts some stuff on Observer. But he's a big wrestling fan and you know, has some great insight. So I think it'd be good to have him on sometime.
Excellent.
Yeah, so you need to take care of that.
Yeah.
Put that on your list, your short list of things to do.
I will absolutely do that. I'll get a hold of him. WWE One Night Stand, guys, is this Sunday live at 7 o'clock.
And Saturday
Central.
Night is Saturday night main event.
Saturday night's main event, yes. Not just clever
and
name.
So we're going to see Cena and Kali twice in less than 36 hours.
Yes. Like, if you didn't get enough on Saturday,
okay,
you get to see it again on Sunday.
I've been off on it today. I'm not going off on that tonight. I'm not even going to talk about Booker's nightmare. Anyway, go ahead. What do you got?
First off, first on this list is a six-man tag team tables match. This is going to be between CM Punk, with Tommy Dreamer and Sandman, taking on Elijah Burke, Matt Stryker, and Marquise Bourcon.
Well, sadly enough, I think the Elijah Burke team will win because it seems like the whole deal is to cut down Sandman and Dreamer as best they can.
Right.
And I hate to say that because those are the guys who should win this thing, I think. You know?
I would think so, too, yeah. But, yeah, I agree with you on that one. I think this is kind of a no-brainer that the Burke's team is going to go ahead and take it, man. That's our predictions on this.
Yep.
Let's go ahead to the next match. Let me bring this up. It's a World Tag Team Championship match between the Hardys and, of course, one of my favorite tag teams, and I'm not being facetious about this, the world's greatest tag team.
Okay. Well, you know what? And that's a ladder match. You forgot
this
to mention.
Is, yes, I did forget to mention. Yes, this is a ladder match.
And I thought when they made it one, I thought, come on. But then that's right, I forgot. One Night Stand is supposed to be extreme. Right. Okay, whatever.
Everything, the extreme.
Why I see the Hardys, it's their type of match. I see them keeping the belts.
You know, the Hardys have done a lot of ladder matches, and they usually come out on top in these. Of course, that's going to be the...
Poor Charlie, because I know he ain't going to like this.
That's going to be the psychology going in, is that... you know, the Hardys.
I'm not
gonna
like it
this.
Either, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with you on that one too. I'm gonna say the Hardys retain. Coming up next is, you know, in keeping with the extreme style, this is one of the most dangerous and career-threatening matches that you can get into. It's a pudding match between Melina and Candice Michelle.
The next click you hear will be me hanging up after Doc's. Drugged.
Les is not up on all the career-ending injuries of getting pudding in your eye that
no,
have happened
I,
over
I
the years.
No, I obviously have not. Well, let's see. Melina can work a little bit, and Candice, well, she can't. So that kind of answers that question. Well, it's non-title, so I don't even want to pick on this. Take a shot at it, hell.
You have to. Pick just one or the other. Flip a coin.
I feel like let me put a lampshade on my head and jump around my living room here.
I know you feel like you're patronizing goofiness by choosing a winner.
I picked Melina, okay?
I'm going to go with Candice Michelle.
Of course you are.
Of course. I would go anywhere with Candice Michelle.
I know you would.
The World Heavyweight.
In fact, any female that's breathing, you would go anywhere with.
The World Heavyweight Championship is going to be on the line in a steel cage match. This is going to be between Edge and Batista, who is going to be the challenger for this match.
Edge keeps the belt.
Edge does keep the belt. That's where I'm going to go, too.
Wait a minute. Are you piggybacking me here just because I beat you the last two shows?
No.
All right. Go ahead.
These are just kind of obvious to me, I think. The ECW World Champion, Mr. McMahon, is going to be taking on Bobby Lashley in a street fight. And...
I can only pray that Bobby Lashley ends up with his belt back.
I can almost guarantee he's going to end up with that belt back.
Well,
That's my pick.
Well, the next time you and Vince and Shane talk, tell him I said, hey, okay, since you're guaranteeing that, I can't guarantee it, but
I said almost
I hope that's the outcome.
You're taking me too literally.
Enough's enough.
WWE Championship, John Cena versus the Great Khali.
I can only hope that John is the title on the line.
Yeah.
Okay, John wins.
And this is the big pinfalls count anywhere match that's going to be going on. It's going to be the third match between these guys. I'm wondering if Saturday night's main event is going to be a championship match or not.
I have no earthly idea.
They don't make it too clear, do they? Or am I just not paying too much attention?
Well, you know what? They taped it before they did Raw last night, so somebody's got to have the spoilers on this, and I would assume that the guy who runs our ship, the man, oh, that's you.
I do not look at spoilers.
Would have had all though. Doc Mark? Can I say Doc?
No, if I looked at the spoilers.
If you looked at the spoilers, it would be all right. You're a journalist, aren't you? Aren't you?
Yes, but
where are you? I don't know.
I'm half a journalist. If I looked at the spoilers, then I would know what was going to happen on Saturday night's main event.
You're half, but you don't need all those letters to spell journalist.
I'm just afraid, you know, that sometimes I will, you know, misspeak and leak spoilers out to our listeners. I don't like doing that.
You know what? I find it amazing that anybody worries about that. I honestly do.
I don't know. I guess. I don't know. The whole thing's, you know, it's entertainment. I want to be surprised at what's going to happen. I don't want to know exactly what's going to happen before
I
watch the show.
Well, when you pre-tape something in front of a national audience, you've got 7,000 people on their little text messaging telephones going tippity-tippity-tack-tack-tack.
Sure.
Tack.
People are going to know it's going to be out there.
Well, yeah. So it's just I'm amazed. Now, I'll tell you this. What I don't do is it's like a ball game. I don't tape a ball game once I know the score and watch it.
Right.
Because I don't want to see it at that point, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the same thing for me, and I understand it's a little bit different, but...
But I don't, with this, it's not a big... To me, it just lets you know what I'm going to fast-forward through and what I'm not. That's all. I mean, seriously, I'll be honest. I was talking to James Gutman today, and he said the same thing, because he has to report on shows.
Right.
But he hasn't watched a whole show in a long time. I said, you know, sadly enough, I love this business, and I haven't either because there's not a whole show that I think I want to watch.
Right.
You know? So, anyway, whatever.
Who knows? I'm going to go with Cena on this one also. So, I mean, it's really going to come down to the it's going to come down to the pudding match. It's going to be the tiebreaker.
Thank God. Well, at least it's an important match that's going to tell
yes,
the difference,
the
right?
The most important match of the card is going to decide who's going to win the pay-per-view prediction game.
Well, at least here's the thing. It gives you a reason to jump up and down and act like a fool in front of your television set with Candice Michelle. And if anybody says why, you say, well, my whole bet with Les hinges on this match.
That's right.
They don't have to know that you're having, never mind what you're
I
having.
Have an excuse now.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then you can run to the bathroom immediately after the match is over.
Les.
And do whatever you do.
Les, right? This is a family show.
I haven't said anything bad. I don't know what you do there. You're the one that's having problems. I don't. You could put on your shave, put on your makeup. I don't know.
We're gonna.
What are you like? I mean, you know, you're the one. See, and it's that nervous laugh that I can tell.
We're going to take a break, guys. When we come back,
all right.
We've got our featured guest, A-Train, Matt Bloom. He's going to be here. He's been enjoying a lot of trips to Japan lately. We're going to be talking about
actually
that.
Actually exclusively working over there.
Yeah, his career with WWE in the past and lots of good stuff. So get your questions ready for Matt Bloom. We'll be back, guys, right after this on Wrestling Weekly.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing, man? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
Brooklyn, Brooklyn.
Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
BatmanX.com.
Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
On total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Hi, my name is Adam Nudelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nudelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes makes them so different? Well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taken place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you guys. It's Wrestling Weekly. Well, I got to tell you, and I was telling Les during the break that we had gone a good, I think, 7 or 8 months without a guest, no showing us, but it's happened tonight, my friends.
Well, you know what? Stuff happens, as they say, so,
yes.
You know, we the show must go on. We just deal with it, man.
We just definitely,
you know, it's like blowing a finish in a match, and you got to go back and, and keep working it and build the next one. So what's up?
Absolutely. So what we're going to do, guys, is we're going to play a little. We got about 20 minutes left here. We're going to play Ask Les. This is a good standby I like to use when we have some things. Because Les is he's a fountain of information.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And no, really, I love to hear your opinions on things, especially of things that are going on lately. And so do the listeners. And one of the listeners in the chat room, Richard Petty, I don't think it's the actual one.
I'm a big fan of Richard's.
Yeah. He says, what are some of your favorite sports besides wrestling?
Well, you know, I'm a frustrated basketball player. I'm too short. But I was always there were some I would have loved. I got involved in drag racing when I was 15 years old. Actually, I was driving on a racetrack, a drag strip, before I had a driver's license. And I won a trophy before I ever was licensed to drive on the streets here.
Is that illegal to do?
Well, it's not the, you know, well, it wasn't an NHRA track, National Hot Rod Association track, which it was an, I guess you call it an outlaw, it was an unsanctioned track down in Kentucky. But it was a place for me to, my dad and I built my first hot rod. It was a 35 Ford 5-window coupe with a flathead Ford V8, aluminum heads, dual Stromberg 97s, and a lot of the stuff young guys wouldn't even know about, but and headers on it, which was pretty hot for its time. We used to be able to blow some of the first 55 V8 Chevys off in a stoplight races. But anyway, I still like to watch drag racing. I still read Hot Rod magazine. I just like all. I played my first organized baseball team when I was 7. Played football, basketball. You know, I enjoyed all those things.
I did all that stuff too. I just wasn't very good at it.
Well, I played high school basketball. Played organized baseball until I was 16, and then of course the drag racing came in on Sundays. And when I was municipal D ball here in the city was a Sunday deal, so I had to start making picks between the drag strip and baseball. And of course the drag racing it was newer and more fresh to me. I was a catcher in baseball, and you know, played well. I played first base a little bit too, but I was basically a catcher, and throw right-handed, bat left, and never much on golf or tennis. Tried both of them as kids, and just wasn't that appealing to me. You know, so I enjoy watching. The funny thing is, I follow the Cincinnati teams, but being a catcher in baseball, Roy Campanella, who was with the Brooklyn Dodgers, was my idol at the time. And so I became a Dodgers fan, and still am. There was no Cincinnati football teams when I was growing up. And honestly, I followed the Browns. The old Paul Brown was the head coach of the Browns, and Otto Graham and Marion Motley and that group then. But when Vince Lombardi went to the Redskins as a coach, I became a Redskins fan and a big Boston Celtics fan as a basketball. The neat thing about that was I broke into the business, the wrestling business in Boston, and 60 and 61 when I was up there, was able to go to the basketball games and at the old Boston Garden on the old parquet floor and see Bill Russell and that crew of Celtics, you know, from the dynasty years, which was tremendously exciting for me. You know, so it was, I'm into other sports.
Let's get back into wrestling for a minute. Crusher the Chris says, who would you like to see moved in the upcoming WWE draft?
Gosh, you know what? I don't know, and I probably a lot of things would be, you know, smart moves that probably won't happen simply because they'll probably never balance the roster out for varying reasons, and I don't know what that would be. Honestly, I think they probably need a few new veterans, and I wouldn't say who necessarily in ECW, just to balance that out. I think it's a, you know, to me, if they continue to run that on the Sci-Fi Channel, I think it'll be a good proving ground for guys, coming in. Morelli that'd be a good place for him now. Punk has been able to get his feet under it there. Marcus Corvan, hell, it's, you know. I'm sorry, that's not who that is. But anyway, I don't know. You know, that's a crazy thing. I just like to see things balanced out. Of course, with the injuries right now, a lot of people, you brought this up about, will they switch Lashley? Because last night they taped Lashley turning on Cena briefly. But I think that was just to satisfy the Canadian fans who were so hard and down on Lashley. I mean, on Cena, I think.
Probably.
You know, but it's in the can, and it's always a possibility, I guess.
Right. That's why, as Jerry Lawler says, Canada's bizarre world. Things are a little bit different up there. They like different people in Canada.
Yeah.
Especially Canadians.
Well, you know what? I was up there, for WrestleMania in Toronto, and nobody be more. There were several of us that were up in the WWE box watching the show that were tremendously surprised how they turned on Rock, in his match with Hogan. I thought they were going to boo Hogan out of the building, but I would have thought Rock would have gotten far more support than he did. As it were. So that's a hard question for me to ask. As far as, I don't know how they balance the rosters out right now or who to go where. Gosh. I'd like to see them develop the tag team divisions, and they're starting to do that to a certain degree. I think, to me, the cruiserweights and the tag teams done seriously, would strengthen their mid-card and lower card. And when I say that, I don't mean that these guys aren't worthy of higher up, but they're not going to get that, due to whatever. But I think that would balance things out, and I think you might be able to do those interpromotional. They've got some good cruiserweights right now just sitting on the – Jamie Noble is one of the toughest little workers in the business.
Yes.
I mean tough. I don't mean that he – well, he's tough, but I mean tough in the manner he's good.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see him get some more ring time. I mean, he's got a contract.
Yeah, I think the whole thing is that, he's a small guy.
I don't know if you've noticed, Rey Mysterio's kind of a small guy.
Too. Yeah, that's true, man.
Jamie's not the flyer Rey is, but Jamie's probably a better worker.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not Hispanic, is he?
Back to what
we were talking about, I wouldn't know how to balance the roster out. I'd almost have to sit down and look at each roster and see how it is. I wish I had a better answer for you, but...
Will says, if you have a botched finish in a match, would you ever restart the match?
No. I just you blow the finish, you blow it.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking earlier about, not getting the shoulder down on the pin. And this up in Tennessee a couple weeks ago, the referee said, well, what should I have done? I said, you should have broke it up. You stopped the count. They're going to have to make a decision. They got to get up and go again. They do the same finish, not unless they're going several minutes, and they should approach it from a different angle. Things like that happen, and I think that's where, here's the deal. If you and I blow a finish and we were supposed to get you over, then we still get you over.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to do it a little differently, and I think that's where you've got to have experienced guys in those in situations,
right,
to make those calls.
And
when I say experienced guys, I'm talking about in the ring, not somebody in the referee's ear, because if it's done, it's done.
Right.
No, I know what they're talking about, too, is they'll run guys back out and do a finish over on TV.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I heard of that, I was horrified. I still don't like it, but I understand why they're doing it. But that's part of the art of the business. Years ago, could we have done it? No. I mean, by no stretch of the imagination.
The fans would have ate it. They would have ate everybody up.
And now it's being done, so it's... I don't know. See, that's like you guys don't want to hear hear about, you know, what happened on a show that's not aired yet, but yet when you hear about those things, it becomes part of the discussion too, right?
Right.
They, like last night, I guess Kali made his entrance too early, so they had to have him make his entrance again. I think this is for the Saturday night deal. But anyway, no, I think you just go right back and you get it right the first time, or you get up and go another couple minutes and come back to it and get it in.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's part of the art of being a good, solid hand in the ring.
Paulie asks, what's your favorite Smoky Mountain wrestling event? For some people who don't know, Les was the play-by-play guy for Smoky Mountain Wrestling all those years.
Oh, I'd have to say Night of Legends, I guess, because it was such a... Well, I first time I ever worked with... That was the first show that JR and I did together. It was... I was inducted into the Smoky Mountain Hall of Fame, which was a great deal. I mean, that was a great territory for me. As a wrestler, I first wrestled there in '68, and was a major player there as a wrestler and as a commentator. Well, up until Smokey, you know, went out of business in one manner or another. And I was involved in the office there when Ron Fuller owned it, and when Blackjack Mulligan owned it. And, well, I mentioned we were talking about Kevin Sullivan as a booker. That was one of the places where Kevin booked, and I was involved with him there. So I would have to say Night of Legends was the best show. It was a good combination of young guys and old guys. And if you ever, it's on the Night of Legends tape, but the build-up, the shows that Jimmy Cornette and I put together with old clips and still photographs to build to that particular night was a lot of fun and just a great, great deal to do.
TGR fan says, out of all the talent in the WWE, who do you think is the most underused, underrated wrestler at the moment?
I probably just mentioned him. Jamie Noble would be one.
Yeah.
You know, why he's sitting at home on his duff, I have no earthly idea. Jamie spent a year with me. He worked his butt off. He's a hard worker. He's a smaller version of Benoit, straight across the board. He's a smaller version of Benoit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so underutilized. Hell, he's not even working. You know, there's a lot of I think Benjamin could be done a better job with Sheldon. Part of it is Sheldon's just a laid-back personality. And, you know, if I don't know, creative is not very creative if you can't find ways of taking good athletes, good talent, and making them into something.
Right.
You know?
That's just an excuse.
Yeah. Well, Jamie, I think. I'd like to see, well, I think they're building them up, but Murdoch and Cade are two kids that I've worked with and have put their, you know, busted their humps, and I see a lot of good. Now, why they're turning baby faces, or if it's just short term, I don't know, but it's beyond me.
I think that is the angle. Are they turning baby face or not? They're going to keep that going for a while.
Well, you know what? A little guessing game is good, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I think that adds, you know, that's...
It adds intrigue.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think, you know, that's... That's what you need in this. Yeah, and I think it's one of the things is you need to be able to call me today and say, man, you should have watched Raw last night. I think advertising everything that you're going to do next week is goofier than anything.
Yeah.
Because there's got to be a little intrigue and a little surprise here and there. You know, hey, well, we're going to have these two top guys wrestle, so we got to plug that on. It's got to be plugged every hour on USA for the next 5 days. Why? I don't know, but we got to do that. Okay.
So people will watch us.
Well, you know what? But the point is, again, you know, that's one of the things that made this business work, whether it was television or not television. You know, if you went to the show in your hometown last night that we put on, and you called your next door, or you saw your next door neighbor outside today and said, man, you should have gone with me to the wrestling matches last night. So and so did this and did that. Oh, man, I'll go with you the next time. You know, or the same with the TV. A good example is the Hogan and his daughter thing with Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you saw that coming 3 months before the Saturday Night main event.
Right, and I mean, sure, you knew it.
Yeah, well, sure, and because of it, still didn't draw them a rating.
No.
Right. So and you tipped it off. You tipped your hand. I think that's part of the problem. But anyway,
it could have been like, you know. In keeping with the context of a Saturday Night main event moments, nobody knew about, you know, Hogan and Andre and the whole twin referee thing. That just is something that happened.
Sure.
And so many more people saw that probably in the week after.
Here's the other thing too. Are you trying to sell us? You're trying to. We talked about this tonight with Brian. Is it about suspending your disbelief, or are you trying to make us more disbelievable?
Right.
I mean, or are you trying to make it so hokey and silly that we can't possibly believe it?
Right.
But find. Here's the thing. Find whatever it is you're trying to do and do that, because you can't sell me both concepts in the same show. Well, you can try, but I just don't think it works really right. Well.
The main ingredient says, when was the last time you saw a match on TV and it made you think, I just saw something special?
Well, I think Cena and Michaels was special. I think Finlay and Benoit. I think the night that Marty Jannetty worked with Angle was. But when
yeah.
I say special, those are those are good solid matches. You can cut those out and use them to teach. And what you're seeing in those matches is a veteran leading, two veterans in the case of Jannetty and Angle. But when I say this, and I mean, I love John. John Cena is a great kid. I really like John. But it was Michaels' match. He led.
Right.
John followed. And how do I know that? I just know. Okay. And with Finlay and Benoit, it was Finlay and Benoit. It was a combination of two talented guys. The night, I can go way back and tell you the night that Helmsley blew his quad out the first time. I was standing in the middle of my living room working that match, in that tag match. It was just because it was that good, they should shoot for every match to be like that. It's special, but I think Michaels and Cena, did I know they were going an hour? Absolutely not. I wonder why they put this thing on so early, but as it built, I thought, my God, they're going to go the hour on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was glad they did, because I think it was,
They took the second break, I knew it was going the rest of the show.
Well, Shane O'Mac probably called you and said, Doc, in case you didn't know, we're going to.
Sergeant Slaughter doll's in the mail.
That was the most recent. But any time, here's what I do like to be alerted. Anytime that Finlay and Benoit is going to work, or Benoit is going to work with Regal, I want to know about it because I want to watch it. You know those are going to be special.
Right. Another question. What is, they're just asking for it tonight. What is the stupidest storyline you've ever seen?
Oh my God, Katie, it had to be Katie Vick, I guess.
Would
be the totally stupidest I've ever seen. Well, to me, one of the things, if there's no payoff, right? The payoff. What was the payoff to Katie Vick? We're going to put Kane in jail. The company finds out he indeed likes sex with dead bodies and fire him. I mean, what was the payoff to that? There was
shock and
there was no. But the point is, it's still a payoff.
Right.
It's what I'm trying to sell you on this, the Shane O'Mac, Vince O'Mac, Linda O'Mac, and the O'Mac, the whole O'Mac thing. There is no payoff.
Mm-hmm.
There is no payoff. So, I mean, he owns the company. What the hell, he can do anything he wants. What are you going to do about that? I'm going to continue to take a paycheck and be stupid is what I'm going to do. I don't know. What are you going to do?
Right.
No, I think Katie Vick by far, it's almost 47 years for me in this business. I can't think of anything any more stupid than that. I don't. There may have been something, but I think that would probably be the top of the ladder.
One more question. Now, for those that don't know, Les was actually, yes, a professional wrestler. For 20 years, from 1960 to 1980. Chris the Crusher asks, have you ever had a crazy fan?
Yeah, a few. I've gotten some goofy letters from people and... one thing and another. I'll tell you, here's kind of a crazy story. The reason I remember this is because this came up in a conversation a couple weeks ago with somebody. It wasn't Smoky Mountain. It was in Knoxville territory, but at the time it was called Southeastern Wrestling. And we were doing the Jerry Lewis telethon. We were red hot on the CBS affiliate at that time. And so myself and I think Ronnie Garvin and Bob Roop, anyway, we were in answering phones, you know. And so, you know, they had volunteers answering the phone, but they'd say, well, let me talk to this guy or that guy. And we'd say, hey, you know, we appreciate you helping Jerry's kids and yada, yada, yada. And anyway, the lady hands me the phone, and I say, hi, this is Les Thatcher, man. We appreciate who's this, and we're glad you're helping Jerry's kids. And to make a long story short, it was a guy who tried to pick me up. So,
oh, my God.
So, but I knew, you know, when we took the phones, we knew we were on camera. We were, you know, pretty sure that we were. So, I mean, I didn't, when he came, I said, hey, we sure appreciate your donation. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
And, right.
And the phone right back to the lady and went on with my business.
Oh, that's crazy.
But yes, I've had people. I don't know if you call it stalking, but you know, drive by your house and that sort of thing. So yeah, it's been around. It's happened before.
Guys, that's gonna wrap it. That's gonna wrap things up for Ask Les this week. But we are gonna be back with you guys next week. Nigel McGuinness is gonna be with us. He's a Ring of Honor star, of course, and. You know, you're going to see him on TV.
He's one of my favorite students, you know, Gavin.
You know, Gavin. I like Nigel, but sometimes it's hard for me to understand him. And I'm part British.
Yeah, okay. And, well, that doesn't mean I'm part Irish, and I don't understand,
right.
You know, that language, the brogue, either. So what can
I
do?
But I love Nigel, and I can't wait to have him on the show. He's going to be with us.
Yeah, we got Nigel, and then we got the following week, we got Doug Basham, right?
Doug Basham's going to be on a
cool.
program, yes.
You know, it's another guy who I've watched grow in the business out of OVW. So, yeah, so cool. We got some great things coming up. We're going to get Alex Marvez. We're trying to get Kevin Sullivan, and...
We'll have the whole list for you guys.
And we're gonna have to have Sean from Kayfabe Commentaries about this fantasy Booker thing too. So
yeah, because it's a pretty cool idea.
Yeah, cool. Once you get a chance to look at yours, and I'll finish looking at this, and we'll work on it.
Excellent, guys. Check out the schedule. Of course, the new schedule is going to be up in a couple days at WrestlingWeekly.com. You can find out who all our guests are going to be.
And we'll try to get Matt Bloom back on A-Train too.
Yeah, hopefully nothing's wrong, you know.
Yeah, let's hope not. Let's hope not, it's not illness or something. So anyway, it's been a good one tonight.
All right, guys, we're out of here. We'll see you next week.